This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. The results from a new poll released by the Center for Food Integrity indicates consumers are coping with the rising cost of food by changing their shopping behaviors. The poll, posted on the organization's Best Food Facts website, shows that 37% of the respondents are clipping coupons, 32% are buying fewer name brand items, and 17% are shopping at discount warehouse stores in an effort to keep the household budget in the black. Best Food Facts interviewed Dr. Helen Jensen, an economics professor at Iowa State University, about the survey results and her thoughts on how American families are dealing with the higher cost of food. In addition to the options listed in the survey, Jensen suspects people are also cutting back on food eaten or prepared away from home. First-term Representative Kristi Noem of South Dakota picked a popular rural state's target, the Environmental Protection Agency, for her first sponsored bill in the House, according to the Rapid City Journal. Noem joined three colleagues from both political parties in sponsoring legislation to limit the ability of EPA to regulate dust as a pollutant on farms and ranches. The American Farm Bureau Federation supports the bill, and AFBF President Bob Stallman wrote to Noem and the other sponsors on April 15th, pledging Farm Bureau's help in passing it. Fields of sugarcane lower the air temperature compared with fields of soybeans, corn, or pasture, according to a study involving Stanford University researchers. Stanford scientists made the discovery working with satellite data of the Brazilian Cerrado, a tropical savanna where sugarcane, increasingly grown for biofuel, is displacing other agriculture. But the benefit to local climate is relative, as the temperature of sugarcane fields is still higher than that of natural vegetation of the Cerrado. What the effect on the global climate would be if sugarcane farming were to expand significantly is not yet clear, said David Lobel, an assistant professor in environmental earth science at Stanford. With cattle prices at historic highs and many families struggling economically, cattle theft has the potential to increase, warns Alan Nipper, an extension beef specialist with the Louisiana State University Ag Center. Nipper said the loss of a few head could offset much of the profit a producer might expect to make in an entire year. In an LSU Ag Center news relief, Nipper offered tips to prevent cattle theft. Nipper says many law enforcement personnel say small-scale producers seem to be the most likely targets of cattle thieves because of lack of surveillance and ease of getting access to cattle. But he also says, however, everyone should be aware of the potential. The Agriculture Department raised its forecasts for retail prices of beef, pork, and fresh vegetables in its monthly analysis of the federal government's Consumer Price Index for food released Monday, but left its overall food inflation forecast for 2011 unchanged at 3% to 4%. Retail beef prices are forecast to jump 7% to 8% in 2011, up from the March forecast of 4.5% to 5.5%. USDA also projects retail pork prices to climb 6.5% to 7.5%, an increase of half a percentage point from March. Bill Lapp, president of Advanced Economic Solutions in Omaha, Nebraska, suspects when December arrives, we will see increases of 4 to 6% for the year in overall prices. He says the pressure on food prices is clearly on the upside. Wet weather is hampering planting over much of the Corn Belt, with USDA reporting that just 9% of the nation's corn crop was planted as of Sunday, well below last year's 46% and the five-year average of 23%. Cool, wet weather is delaying planting from North Dakota to Arkansas, and remnants of last year's strong La Nina weather pattern and cooler water in the Gulf of Alaska will produce more rain and cooler than normal temperatures over the next 2 weeks, according to Fred Gesser, the senior forecaster for Berwyn, Pennsylvania-based Planalytics. University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good points out that widespread precipitation in the Corn Belt raises two related issues. The potential impact on the U.S. average corn yield if a substantial portion of the crop is planted late, and the speed at which the crop can be planted when weather conditions improve. As for the impact of late planting on corn yields, Good says agronomic research clearly demonstrates that late planted corn generally yields less than corn planted in a timely fashion. Good added it is also important to emphasize that high yields can occur with late planting if subsequent growing conditions are favorable, but yields still tend to be below potential yield when planted late. Similarly, low yields can occur for corn planted in a timely fashion if subsequent growing conditions are unfavorable. Kevin Concannon, USDA Undersecretary, announced Tuesday that USDA's child nutrition programs are implementing new rules designed to encourage use of local farm products in school meals. The final rule, published in the Federal Register, will let schools and other providers give preference to unprocessed, locally grown, and locally raised agricultural products as they purchase food for the national school lunch, school breakfast, special milk, child and adult care, fresh fruit and vegetable, and summer food service programs. The rule is part of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act of 2010, signed into law by President Barack Obama, and one of the key provisions to bolster farm-to-school programs across the country. USDA announced Monday that pear growers in Oregon and Washington State voted to continue their federal marketing order program. The continuation of the marketing order was favored by 96% of pear growers voting in the referendum, representing 88% of the volume produced. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.